Let me bid welcome to everyone here. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. And we say it often, but sincerely, it's good to get together. So we're glad and thankful that you're here. Lesson this morning, lying in your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along. Just from last week's lesson on the deceitfulness of sin, have a follow-up just to talk about defining sin in various types. So we'll note, first of all, the introduction, just defining sin in general. And then there's more than five types of sins. I didn't mention willful sin, and there's several others. But I'm going to talk about the sins that we commit when we just omit something. And then obviously there's a commit of sin. And then I put sin that ensnares us. Oh, a secret sin. And then presumptuous sin. So we'll take a look at each of these in turn. First of all, by way of introduction, no one is exempt from sin. You don't have to be wretched, criminal, but no one can say, God, every day you're pleased with everything I say and everything I do. Can't say that. God, you're pleased with all I do. No. Bible says it this way in Romans 3, verse 10. Says, as it's written. Not just what someone said. No, it's written down. There's none righteous. He says it again. No. He says it again. Not one. No. In verse 23 of the same chapter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sin. But we'll put in your notes, there's hope. What am I going to do about my sins? Jesus is introduced in Scripture in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for she, meaning Mary, will bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want salvation from my sins, from my wrongdoing. I want pardon. I want forgiveness for my sins. The Apostle Peter preached in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. A couple phrases. We must be saved from our sins, but there's one that can do it. No other name, no other person but Jesus. Now, by the way, so you know, sin. So we're all on the same page. What is that? What does it mean to sin? By definition, it just means you miss the mark. You fall short of God's glory. When we don't measure up to the standard. We just miss the mark. God's intent for our lives. I don't always do and say the things that are right. No, but a couple other words that are used in the Bible for that. Number one, transgression. Means to go beyond or go aside. You overstep. Law breaking. I've crossed the line that's clearly defined by a boundary. In other words, you see in society, sometimes you see a sign posted, no trespassing. There's a line. Sometimes I know people that want to walk up to that line and just put a toe over. What do you mean no trespassing? Just a little. Broke the law. Trespassing. You missed the mark. Iniquity. Or David prayed, I put in your notes, Psalm 51, verse 1. David prayed, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. My transgression. You need to erase that. Can you take that away, my transgression? Their word iniquity means lawlessness too. These are synonymous. Unrighteousness. If you commit iniquity, you committed a wrong or an injury or a misdeed. In verse 2, he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. iniquity, sin. I need cleansing.
Sure do.
Then a fault? What's wrong with a fault? Well, it's a failing. It means I'm responsible for wrongdoing. Made a mistake. And sometimes we even say, oh, that's my fault. My fault. You know, when Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said to him, what's truth? And then when Pilate had said that, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in this man. No fault. Meaning this is one man that did everything right and said everything right. No fault. So when you think about sin, yeah, it's missed the mark. I fell short. I transgressed. It's iniquity. I did wrong or injury or misdeed. I committed a fault. Some of we say, oh, that doesn't sound so bad, but it's sin. Yeah. None righteous. So I put to illustrate some types of sin. And we're guilty of one or more of these, but don't raise your hand. We already know everyone's guilty. Number one is omit. Well, I just neglected something. Meaning there was something that was good. Doesn't have to be something wretched. Just mean there was a good deed I could have performed or acted on and I didn't do it. I know that way. There was something good, not wretched, something good that I could have done and I just overlooked it. Something good, but I just didn't do it. I didn't attend to it. I was supposed to do it, but something good. I'm supposed to do good. And doesn't do it, to him it's sin. I mean, I just didn't do something. It's sin. It's sin. I didn't do something good. The phrase, I know, that carries some responsibility to do right. To him that knows to do good. Mm-hmm. I know I should have done that. I know I should have made that call. I know I should have made that visit. I know I should have offered to help. I know I should obey the gospel. Just didn't do it. Neglected it. You know, when I was a boy, just a few years ago. Yeah, you laughed at that. When I was a boy, you know, if I left something undone, sometimes my dad would call me in and he'd say, Brian, you know better. Better. Should have done that. I didn't do it. Meaning, I was without excuse. Now, I'm talking about, again, something good. I just neglected good. Didn't make the call. Didn't make the visit. Second, now it's something that I commit. Now there's an action on my part. Meaning, I did something. First one I didn't do something. Now it's I did something. In 1 John 3, verse 4, whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is something you commit. Something you do. Not something you're born with. Sin is something you do. In James chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, that same phrase is used. And I'll key on verse 9. But if you show partiality, doesn't seem like a big thing. I just showed a little partiality. I just favored one person over another. What's the problem? Oh, okay, if you show partiality. Next phrase is, you commit sin. You commit sin. And then he goes on as if before you start thinking, well, this is just something trivial or something small, something little. I just showed favoritism to one over another. If you show partiality, you commit sin. Second, you are convicted by the law as transgressors. Wow. Over something that we may think is little. I just showed partiality. A society. You commit sin, you're convicted, and you're transgressors. Couldn't you just say, if you show partiality, I need to improve myself? Could you do that? No. Means you're a convict. You're a convict. Dictionary definition of a convict. In society, it means, here's the dictionary definition. In society, it means you're a person serving time in prison after conviction as a criminal. And all they did was show partiality. You commit sin. Now, there are some sins that are we call grievous. They all are serious. We kind of want to categorize something. In Galatians 5, verse 9, remember, sin is something you commit. So he begins, now the works, something you did, the works. Works of the flesh, action on my part. My works of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderer, drunkenness, revelry, and then he adds the words, and the such like. Everything that goes along with all that, everything in that list, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, Paul's saying, I told you once, I'm going to tell you again, that those who practice, sin's something you commit. These are the works, again, don't raise your hand. We're guilty. I need salvation. So God sent His Son. So there's sins that I commit when I leave something out. I omit something. Something good. Remember, something good. I just didn't do it. Now it's something that I do. Action. My work. My practice. Something I do that's wrong. Number three is a sin that will beset us or ensnare us. Now it gets really personal. It's not just in general. I'm talking to an audience. No, now we have to take it to heart. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, the first thing he says, lay aside every weight, the next, and the sin, which so easily ensnares us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now the text doesn't name the sin. It's just the sin that easily ensnares us. So that's because each of us has a different temptation. What may ensnare me may not ensnare you. And if I would tell you, this is what really hangs close to me, or something I just can't shake, or this is something, a sin that just is always there. It's always tempting to me, and I tell you that and what it is, and you're going to say, that's not tempting to me. Why would that be tempting? I wouldn't even touch that. I wouldn't even go near that. And yet you're saying that's tempting to you. That's right. There is a sin that each of us seem like that piece of tape on a finger. You just can't shake it. And then you peel it off over here. Now it's on this one. And you just go back and forth. There's a sin that, in an interest, says it easily besets us. Easily. Yeah. It's that troublesome area that seems to always be in view. Easily besets us. Well, there's a solution. The Bible gives it in one place, in Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So since I know that that's a problem area for me, I'm not going to go where that may exist. I'm going to stay out of that place. I'm not going to hang around with those people because I'm easily ensnared when I'm with them or I'm at that place. Get out of there. There's a sin that easily ensnares us. Number four, secret sin. Well, David said in Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Fault was one of our definitions of sins in the introduction. A secret fault. It's still a misstep. Mistake. Testament in Leviticus 54, or Leviticus 5, verse 17, says if a person sins, and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. I didn't know I did that. There's something I may have said or done that was wrong. It was against God's will. But I didn't know I did that. I'm not aware of it. No one's brought it to my attention. Something that I did as I was going about business in my daily walk, and I just wasn't aware I did that. You ever hear the expression, ignorance of the law is no excuse? Just because you're ignorant of the law, you go to another country and violate the law, and you go before the magistrate and say, I didn't know that was a law. See what that gets you. Probably 10 years. Easily 10 years. I didn't know that. I did that unknowingly. Yeah. Guilty. So add in your prayers, as we always say at the close of our prayers, forgive us of our sins. Add the phrase secret sins. Forgive me my sins and my secret sins. So here are the first four. We got this. There's something that I should have done that was good. I just didn't do it. I neglected it. Yet it's sin. There's something that I did. I committed. Yeah, that's sin. There's that sin that easily ensnares me. There's that secret sin. Number four. Oh, and the last one. Presumptuous sin. If you're presumptuous in life, it means you just willfully, you overstep the bounds. If you're presumptuous, you mean you're going to take some liberties. You're presumptuous. Here's the phrase. Psalm 19, verse 13. David said, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. There's our word. Let them not have dominion over me. Something about this sin that can grab us. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Oh, just a presumptuous sin is a great transgression. In the Old Testament, also in Numbers, in the law, Numbers 15, beginning at verse 30. But if the person who does anything presumptuously, right, anything presumptuously, whether he's native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord. He'll be cut off from among his people because he's despised the word of the Lord. He's broken his commandment. That person will be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. I just did something presumptuously. Something bold, something daring. Give you the example of Samson and Delilah. Stories in Judges chapter 16. I'm just going to read some of the story and tell you some of the story. You're familiar with Samson and Delilah. Begins in Judges 16 verse 6. It says afterward, and have the woman, meaning love the valley of Soreh, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him. Uh-oh. Guys, you ever been enticed by a woman? Don't raise your hand. Your smile already told me. Entice him. Entice him. Find out, they said, the Philistines said, find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, come here, pretty boy. Come closer. Got something to tell you. So Delilah said to Samson, I don't understand this, but she said, please tell me where your strength lies and with what you may be found to afflict you. Oh, yeah, that's a good phrase. Well, I'm going to, oh, sure, I'll tell you that so I can be bound to be afflicted. And remember, the angel of the Lord told Samson's mother back in chapter 13, verse 5, behold, you'll conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. All right, no razor. So Samson became presumptuous. Here's the rest of the story. In verse 7, Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak. Okay, so what, you know what Delilah did? Come here, Samson. Come here. Come closer. They had the Philistine lying in wait. Samson lies on gets on Delilah's knees, falls asleep, and first thing you know, she binds his hair, binds him with fresh bowstrings that weren't dried yet. She says, he shouts out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he gets up and throws him away. Beats the Philistines away. Verse 10. Delilah then said to Samson, look, you've mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me what you may be bound with. He said to her, they bind me bind me securely with new ropes, never used, then I'll become weak. So she says, all right, Samson, come here. Get closer. Lay down right here. Now, all of a sudden, she wakes him up again and says, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. And he gets up and he breaks loose from the ropes and drives the Philistines away. Verse 13, same story. This time he says to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. So come here, Samson. Come closer. So many words. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and he pulled out the batten and the web from the loom and he drives the Philistines away. Man, Samson, that 3 times. I know you should know by now. 3 times. Verse 15. She said to him, how can you say, I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times, not told me where your great strength lies. But came to pass when she pestered him daily and pressed him that so much that his soul was vexed. Guys, you ever been pestered and pressed? Don't raise your hand. So much soul by the woman that your soul is vexed. That's what happened to Samson, and said, and he told her all his heart. He said, no razor shall come to my head. Uh-oh, Samson. If I'm shaven, my strength will leave me. So Samson told the Philistines. The Philistines gave her the promised money. Verse 19. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. Uh-oh. Guys, let that be a lesson to you. You go sleep on a lady's knees, you're going to lose your strength. Be careful out there. She lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Verse 20. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, here's the presumptuousness of Samson. I will go out as before at other times, shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Presumptuous. Just because Samson got away with it three times, he thought he could get away with it again. Oh, presumptuous Samson. Presumptuous sin. I thought I could always get away with it. That's the sequence. We got away with it before, so we presume that we can do it again. Presumptuousness. So we go back and back and back, and then sin grabs us, takes hold of us. We lose our strength, and we can't escape. So our lesson is look at types or kinds of sin. We're guilty. But we have hope. I put in your introduction. God so loved the world, He sent His Son to save us from our sins. Our sins, all of them. All of them. So at the close of a lesson, we always sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Very simple procedure to receive or accept the salvation through Jesus that God offers. First of all, we need to hear God's offer of pardon. We need to hear that gospel good news message that God so loved the world, John 3:16. He gave a son for us. Hear that message. That's another phrase in John 3:16. And so he that believes, Jesus even said it in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to do that. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith or belief, it's impossible to please God. I want to please God. So he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that is He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. And then, after I've heard that God sent His Son for me, and I believe that, then I want to repent of my sins. Jesus said it. Jesus said it to me. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I don't want to die in my sins. So God, I believe that you sent your Son. I want to turn my life around and turn it toward you. Then I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Let me confess what I believe. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him a Jesus message in Acts chapter 8. He reached a point in his sermon, he interrupted Philip's sermon and said, well, here's water, what hinders you from being baptized? Philip asked the question, well, if you believe, you may. Well, I believe he made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, and Philip, number 5, baptized him. So even that with the story, that Ethiopian, he heard the good news of Philip's sermon. He believed it. He was willing to turn his life around and obey the message, what the message said or required. And he made that confession. I'll tell you what I believe, that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip says, stop the chariot right now. You'll be baptized. And so that's what happened. And he came up out of the water. And he goes on his way rejoicing. And Philip is caught away and preaches in another city. So that's the process, the steps, the procedure that we preach at the close of each lesson. If you're subject to it, if you have not been saved from your sins by being repentant and being baptized, you have that opportunity to simply come and have a seat on the front and let your request be made known.